The Giving King. In the centre of a large, grand city, a castle stood, tall and important. In that castle a king lived, a young king. In his portrait and looks he was brave, grand and tall, but inside his feelings were a knot of gentleness and bravery. A bluebird was flying southeast for the winter, but as it was flying past the city, it stopped and rested on a castle's window, still for the night. "I have a grand bedroom," the bluebird could not help but brag to every passing pigeon as it flew by. "I have a golden bed and a clear glass wall looking in on a glorious banquet." But eventually he grew tired and slept. Whilst he was fast asleep, he felt a drop of water on his back, then another, then another. "Who are you?" queried the rather annoyed bluebird. "You have quite drenched me." "Oh, little bird of emerald blue, I apologise, but would you not cry as well if your father had died and you were left with a miserable country to rule?" "I cannot choose but weep," replied the young man, a young king. "I'm sorry to hear that, but I must be off. In Australia, my companions swoop and fly in and out of cool waters and bathe in the shade of tall trees. They shall watch the sun rise and set as they wait for me." You see, the bluebird, which was of the boastful type, had never known quite what to do to comfort a human. "A little bird of emerald blue, will you not stay one night longer? On the edge of a city I spy an old man on his way home. He is cold and alone. He knows when he arrives there will be no meal, and he must save his firewood for the cruel winter which is almost here. Bring him the bread off my table." So the bluebird carried the bread to the old man's home, and the old man rejoiced to find not only that, but a warm fire burning in the grate. "Tomorrow I leave for Australia," the confident bluebird said to the king. "I shall relax in the great sun and forget all my troubles as my friends fly and welcome me to the lands and its many plains." "Oh, little bird of emerald blue, will you not stay with me one night longer?" came his reply. "In the centre of a city I spy a young woman with a generous heart. She is trying to finish a painting for the Queen's ballroom, but she is too tired and hungry to continue her work. Oh, little bird of emerald blue, bring her the fruit off my table, for as the bread steadied the life of the old man, the fruit shall sweeten hers. Begone, little bird, and do as I command you." So the bird glided to the young lady and dropped the fruit on her bare desk. "I leave tomorrow," the bluebird said. "My family will have moved on to the great sands of the south, and I long to join them in the glorious heat. It is so cold here." "Oh, little bird of emerald blue, will you not stay with me one night longer? Under a bridge there are two cold children huddled together. They long for love, food and warmth. Bring them the warm cloth off my table." The bluebird's heart had grown quite a bit since he had first met the king, and he did not question the order. The more people he helped, the poorer the king became, and finally, one bitter winter's morning, the bluebird knew he was going to die. "Goodbye, dear king, keep helping." And the bluebird fell dead on the same windowsill he had arrived on, closely followed by the king. But they did not mind, for now they were truly together in paradise.
In the morning, she woke up incredibly early so she could have a head start. She ate her sandwich as fast as she could. When she got outside, she headed towards the rich people's houses. Carefully, she knocked on the door of the Adams family. They opened the door awfully slowly, which wasted most of her time. Finally, they came outside and asked her why she had come to them. "I've come here to ask you if you would kindly give me a generous amount of money to give to the poor. They will be able to buy items they need but do not have," Veronica nervously replied. "We would be happy to help the poor. They do deserve some money as they have been sitting on the streets for over a year now," they responded. They gave Veronica a generous amount of money to give to the poor. Veronica proceeded to the rich people to ask for some money. In the evening, she sailed to the Statue of Liberty and told her that her first job was done. They made a second plan to help the rich and poor. The next day, she repeated her morning routine and started the next plan. She dashed out across the streets and gave the money to the poor. "The rich has kindly given some of their money to you," Veronica replied. The poor were filled with pride and joy. "Young lady, could you thank the rich for us? We would be even more grateful," exclaimed an old man. Veronica replied, "Of course I will tell them thank you, and I will specifically tell them it was thanks from you. I promise." So she did what she promised to the poor. Veronica quickly ran to the poor and told them thanks from the poor. Firstly, she ran to the Adams family and said, "I am giving you thanks from the poor and from me as well. I am thanking you for giving me the money to give to the poor. Thank you so much." She was so thankful, she said it so quickly. At least they understood her. "We were honoured to help some of the poor, because some of them were our family and friends. We would do anything to help them." The Adams family were a very nice family. Now she had to go to the other rich people that gave her money for the poor. She had to do it quickly because she still needed time to meet the Statue of Liberty. She managed to get her to her quick enough. She told the statue that she had finished her second job. Consequently, they made the last plan. They worked through it over and over again. This was the final step. They got through it eventually. For the third time this week, she had to repeat her morning routine. She was starting to get used to it. Once she finished her routine, she dashed outside and headed back to the poor. This time she was going to tell them not to buy items that could kill you, otherwise they give them money for nothing and they would be poor again. She insisted on getting a job and a house first so they could earn money from the job and have somewhere to sleep. They did as she said. While they were doing it, she was wondering if her mother was worried about her. She hadn't seen her mother in 3 days. She woke up so early and came home so late. After a while, she looked back at the poor and saw that somehow they bought a house so quickly. She was really impressed and shocked. Veronica looked at her watch and remembered that she had to see the statue. She ran as quickly as she could, as her motorboat could take her. Once she got there, she sailed as fast as the waves could take her. She got there just in time. The statue was waiting. She told the statue the most exciting news. She had finished the final step. They were so happy that the statue cried with joy. Veronica said, "I need to get home, otherwise my mother will be worried." The statue let her go. Once Veronica got home, she saw that her mother was in the kitchen. She ran up to her and hugged her. She was very upset. She was leaving in the morning very early. She helped her mother tidy up and her mother packed Veronica's bag. They were going to tidy up in one night. Veronica promised her mother that she would come and visit again after about 3 hours Veronica had to go. She got on her plane on time and saw the most beautiful view of the statue. Tears fell down her cheeks as she flew home. She was happy to go back to London, but she would miss her mother and the statue. She missed her mother the most. The end.